This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 30th of November, and this podcast episode is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, the Australian government has passed a new privacy bill following a string of high-profile security breaches at Australian companies. The new laws, passed by both houses of the Australian Parliament, grants the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner the power to crack down on companies that ignore security best practices and expose their customers' data through cybersecurity breaches. The new laws mean companies that fail to safeguard user data face fines of up to $50 million Australian dollars, or 30% of the company's adjusted turnover, whichever is higher. This is a significant increase from the current $2 million fines. The new bill's provisions and fines also apply to any foreign company doing business in Australia. The Australian privacy watchdog welcomed the new bill and called it an important opportunity to secure the Australian economy. Ireland's Data Protection Agency has fined US social media company Meta €265 million in connection to an April 2021 security incident. The Irish Data Protection Commission said that Meta failed to safeguard its Facebook platform from data scraping attacks, which allowed a threat actor to compile details on more than 530 million Facebook users, data that was then sold on underground cybercrime forums. The Irish Data Protection Agency has now fined all of Meta's three main platforms. It fined Instagram €405 million in September last year and WhatsApp €228 million in September 2021. French privacy watchdog CNIL has fined nuclear energy group EDF €600,000 for multiple cybersecurity and privacy lapses. CNIL said that EDF failed to secure passwords for 2.5 million users that had signed up on its web portal. Officials said that the passwords were hashed using MD5, a hashing function that's been broken for almost two decades. The passwords were also not salted, allowing threat actors to easily crack the MD5 hashes and learn the original clear text passwords. CNIL officials also said that EDF broke the EU GDPR rules by failing to inform users of its web portal how their data was collected and then handled. It comes after CNIL fined Discord €800,000 for weak password policies earlier this month. US Cyber Command has revealed details on the Hunt Ford mission it conducted in Ukraine earlier this year, ahead of Russia's invasion. Officials say the Hunt Ford mission consisted of a joint team of Navy and Marine Corps operators that worked together with local Ukrainian teams to hunt and detect malware and malicious cyber activity on Ukrainian critical infrastructure networks. Cybercom says the mission lasted from December 2021 to the following March, and its operators were present in Ukraine when Russia began executing destructive cyber attacks in mid-January. Cybercom describes the Ukrainian mission as the largest Hunt Ford team the agency has deployed in the field so far. The Reval Ransomware Group has published datasets from a US school district and a major US healthcare services provider to its dark web data leak portal. The two dumps come after a fortnight of inactivity following Reval's high-profile leak of data from Australian private health insurer Medibank. The Medibank leak prompted the Australian government to issue a threat of repercussions and offensive operations against cybercrime groups, like the new privacy bill we mentioned earlier. The South Korean government says it's considering imposing sanctions on North Korean individuals linked to the regime's cyber operations. The US Treasury Department has already sanctioned multiple North Korean individuals and threat actors it says are behind a cybercrime spree that's stolen funds from banks and cryptocurrency platforms. The US government says these funds were later laundered and diverted to North Korea's nuclear missile program. South Korean officials say they're now considering applying the same type of sanctions against North Korean cyber units because the North has intensified nuclear missile tests in recent months, despite promising not to. The Spanish National Police has detained six suspects for their alleged role in a criminal gang that defrauded more than 12 million euro from more than 300 victims across Europe. Spanish authorities say the group ran several websites posing as banks and cryptocurrency portals and tricked victims into making fraudulent investments that sent money to the group's bank accounts. The group laundered the money through accounts at several Spanish banks before transferring the money overseas. Investigative InfoSec reporter Brian Krebs and security researcher Zach Edwards have found links between mobile software company PushWhoosh and the Pincer malware operation from the early 2010s. PushWhoosh rose to infamy this month after a Reuters report claimed the company's code was removed from several US government mobile applications after US officials discovered that the company pretended to be based in the US but was actually based in Russia. Krebs says that since the Reuters report, he discovered that one of PushWhoosh's employees is a man he previously identified in 2013 as the author of Pincer, an Android Trojan that was capable of intercepting and forwarding text messages from Android mobile devices. The US Cybersecurity Infrastructure and Security Agency has updated its KEV database with two vulnerabilities that threat actors have recently started exploiting in the wild. The first is a Chrome Zero Day that was patched last week, and the second is an authentication bypass vulnerability in Oracle Access Manager that was patched last year but only recently came under attack. French cybersecurity firm Evina has discovered a malicious Android app available on the Google Play Store that turns infected smartphones into virtual phone numbers that can be used to register accounts on various social media networks. Evina says the app, named Simu, acts as the back end of a website that allows users to buy bulk accounts on social media sites. Simu has been downloaded more than 100,000 times and is currently ranked first in India in the SMS tools category. It is still available on the Play Store. Ad security platform Confiant says a malvertising group it tracks as Cash Rewindo is using domains registered years ago to bypass security checks and protections on some advertising platforms to run malicious ads. While the group could be buying old domains from domain reputation building markets, Confiant researchers believe the group is registering domains themselves and then sitting on the URLs for years before deploying them in their malvertising operation. US cybersecurity firm Mandiant has discovered a new cyber espionage group that's heavily active in the Southeast Asian region, where it's targeting public and private sector entities using a USB worm. Mandiant tracks the group under the temporary name of UNC4191 and says current evidence suggests that the group has a Chinese nexus. Mandiant researchers say the group has forced on targets physically located in the Philippines, but its malware has been seen in other countries, most likely due to its spreading via compromised organizations' internal networks. UNC4191 attacks rely on a malware strain named Mistcloak that is introduced to networks via an infected USB device. From this initial entry point, the attackers leverage Mistcloak to download Windows Trojans named Darkdew and Bluehaze. These two act as a backdoor for the group, but they also help deploy the Mistcloak USB worm to other removable USB devices connected to the compromised network. And lastly, hardware vendor Acer has patched a vulnerability that could be abused to disable the secure boot option inside the company's BIOS firmware. The vulnerability was discovered by Slovak cybersecurity firm ESET earlier this year and is a variation of the same bug that also impacted Lenovo devices. Lenovo shipped patches at the start of November. Both vulnerabilities could allow a threat actor to tamper with an operating system's loading processes. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Airlock Digital CEO David Cottingham, who'll be sharing some insights on how enterprises can manage their browser extensions through local group policies.
I wanted to touch on an all-too-common theme, which is regularly reported on here at Risky Business News, which regards malicious browser extensions. Browser extensions are a ripe target for attackers, as they're nearly always centrally distributed, and they land attackers right in the juicy center of where people manage their identity, so it's a really compelling attack vector. Users and enterprise, for the most part, also have to rely on the browser vendors to detect and prevent extensions from being weaponized. And since browsers have done such a great job of sandboxing in isolation and locking other processes out from seeing what they're doing, It has a catch-22 of restricting endpoint security vendors from detecting malicious extensions through monitoring behavior. So I just wanted to encourage everyone that has some sort of managed endpoint, be that in the enterprise or endpoints in the cloud managed by Intune or similar, to really consider utilizing group policy extensions to manage what add-ons can be installed by users. In Chrome, this is called the App and Extension Policies, and in Firefox, this is called the Extension Settings, which is actually derived from the Chrome policy, so you can configure and manage them in the same way. Using these policies, you can restrict extensions to a specific set and force uninstall non-standard extensions. We've done a bunch of research in this area here at Airlock, and are currently adding in browser extension control into a future release of the product. But one thing we found during development was that Chrome and Firefox both refer to an enterprise version of the browser. Don't be confused, these policies work just fine with any Chrome and Firefox installation. So if you haven't had a look at these policies already, I definitely encourage you to check them out.
And that was David Cottingham from today's sponsor, Airlock Digital. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.